Hey, everybody. It's Friday the 13th once again, and we couldn't let that pass without a... next week, babe. It's Friday the 13th. you look confused. We couldn't let that...
I'm sure.
Yeah, no. We couldn't let that pass without another Turn It Off with Tracy. Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
So, due to popular demand, we did a Don Knotts horror mystery double feature. Started off with The Ghost of Mr. Chicken... by recommendation, and then we watched The Private Eyes, which he and Tim Conway started in 1981. I actually have a lot more to say about The Private Eyes, but we'll get to that in a few minutes. Let's talk about The Ghost of Mr. Chicken. Now, had you seen this movie before?
No.
Okay, I never have either. I was pretty sure that this was a movie that I didn't need to see firsthand before you saw it. That you weren't going to need to turn it off.
Did you screen it beforehand?
Or I did not screen it.
You risked it.
I risked it. I'm a heartbreaker and a risk taker. I don't want to say I was disappointed in it because it's a movie called The Ghost of Mr. Chicken starring Don Knotts. I didn't have any real expectations. But I had always heard from people that have seen it and from the posters that it was like... I got to get the word like out of my vocabulary. Mm. I haven't done it yet. That it was a movie that was a spooky horror comedy. And it really isn't. There's only real one scene in the haunted house.
Yeah, it had one spooky moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rest of the movie is just him kind of on, like, whatever the Universal backlots they shot the movie on. And not that that movie is bad, but it's just... I mean, it makes Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein look like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, it's just so not horror and... In any remote way, the only time we get anything even approaching a horror content is when he looks at that painting of the dead woman, mm-hmm. and there's, like, red tempera paint coming out of where the knife went in. It's like, ooh, blood. Like, that's it. Like, the rest of the movie is just him running around being wacky in the town and running with Dick Sargent. I like the girl in it, Joan Staley, the girl that mm-hmm. he's got the crush on. I thought mm-hmm. she was actually pretty good. I know her from... she did a couple episodes of the Batman TV show.
Okay.
She played Okie Annie, which was the sidekick of Cliff Robertson's Shame, which was kind of a Western villain. So I know her from that. But I thought she was cute. Like the scene with Don Knotts where they go on that lunch date,
uh-huh.
and the guy won't give up his seat, so he's just sitting there eating his soup. And Don Knotts has to stand there while the guy sits there and eats his turtle soup or whatever he gets. So. Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy it at all? I don't want to say at all. I don't want to be mean about it. It's a hard movie to dislike because it's just so... It's such piffle.
Hijinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not a horror comedy at all. I was really like, wow, that's it? Like, just that one scene? That's it? That's the whole thing? I guess the movie's famous for the fact that it's the same... right next door on the back lot was the Munsters' house.
Which I called.
You did. Yeah, it's just silliness. And like I said, I wish there had just been more... horror in it. The one like weird little bit that I liked was the whole attaboy Luther, which was said by somebody off camera, and it just went through the whole movie where every time he was at a crowd scene, some guy was yelling attaboy Luther. Like, that was just like a weird detail
uh-huh.
that they didn't explain. And it's the last scene in the movie where he gets married
uh-huh.
to the girl and you hear the guy go attaboy Luther, and they turn around and they're like, where did that guy
Sinatra.
Come from? Yeah, exactly. Like, I like that deal. And fun fact, I mentioned this too as we were watching it. That movie was written by, Ghost of Mr. Chicken, was written by Everett Greenbaum and Jim Fritzell, who wrote a lot of great MASH episodes.
Okay.
Including the one where Henry Blake dies. Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah.
And the voice of the guy who's yelling attaboy Luther is Everett Greenbaum. Or Jim Fritzell. It's one of the two. So I like that weird little detail. But yeah, I was a little disappointed in that it was so little horror content. Or like, just... not much of him.
But you can't really go in expecting...
Well, I knew it wasn't going to be hot. But it just so little of it took place in any sort of... Well, but we can talk about the next movie, which had a lot more. But we'll get to that. Again, we'll get to that in a moment. But it was fine. Like, it was just sort of fine. It's, again, hard to, like, dislike a silly Don Knotts comedy that's, like, 86 minutes and, you know...
I have to say the beginning really turned me off because Don Knotts was doing silly at... You know, out of a 1 to 10 scale, he was probably at a 99.
Right, with the big bug eyes.
Oh, geez, and you know, all the
shtick with the elevator, opens halfway, between the floors. And
the
stuff.
Flailing about and all that, you know, at the very beginning.
Right.
When they were still outside.
Right.
And I was actually a little put off by that. But it did get better after that. You really do have to work your way through the the initial murder scene.
Yes. Yeah. It's just a little... It's
overdone.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing. He became such a big movie star.
There wasn't really any dialogue. So I'm sure he was told to fill the space. Otherwise, it was going to be a TV show instead of a movie. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't mean to imply that it was an easy job he had or that he did a bad job. I just think that's what they gave him, and he had to work with what he had.
Yeah, they probably told him big, Don, big.
Bigger.
And he became such a movie star thanks to these movies that's why he left the Andy Griffith Show.
Really?
Because his movie career took off.
Wow.
Because he did The Incredible Mr. Limpet, and that was a hit. And
I saw that when I was little on TV. I loved
it. I've never seen Incredible Mr. Limpet. We will have to watch that sometime. Okay,
I have no idea what it's about now. Something about a fish.
He gets turned into a fish, right? Or something like
that?
Because it's anime. Part of he's like the fish part is animated. I remember that.
I don't know if I would like it now, but as a little girl, oh my gosh.
You think you can handle the terror, like, from the Gnomobile?
You know, when I think about it, it must actually be more terrifying.
It's a guy turns into a fish.
I know, right?
It's scary.
It lives underwater.
That's right. So, yeah, there's just not much else to say about Ghost of Mr. Chicken. Like I said,
we're actually talking more about Mr. Limpet.
Yeah, like I said, being negative about it feels silly because it's just such an innocuous movie. Mm-hmm. And I think if you grew up on it, I could see why you'd love it. And like I said, Joan Staley is charming. She should have had a bigger career, I think. She did a bunch of TV after this, but never really had a big movie career. Her and Don Knotts have a nice kind of chemistry.
Yeah, they were sweet.
Yeah, I mean, she's like really pretty, and he's this kind of goofy, pop-eyed, reedy-looking guy, but he's sweet in it, and like I said, so, you know. I like these movies as a historical piece because that was a movie made, like, entirely on the back lot in 1963. They don't make movies on back lots anymore. Mm. Like, they don't make entire movies on back lots because people would recognize it. They feel like it's too cheap. They got to do location shooting. But I'm charmed by the idea that, like, there's probably 17 other movies being made while they were, like, doing that movie. You know, they were, like, what were they filming right across the street as Don Knotts was going through his paces? Mm-hmm. They were probably filming an Adam 12 and a Dragnet and a Gunsmoke and three other Westerns, one with Harry Morgan probably running around. You know what I mean? Like, I love all that kind of stuff.
We had the Big Valley. We had Bonanza.
Yeah, Rockford Five. Like James Gardner was probably doing the Shakiest Gun and the Support Your Local Sheriff or something, you know? Like, I love all that kind of stuff. That stuff's fascinating to me, so. But anyway, that's The Ghost of Mr. Chicken. I'm kind of glad I finally saw it because for years I always thought it was maybe kind of a horror comedy that I hadn't seen, but it really kind of isn't. It's really more just a comedy. So, but at least, cross it off the list, and we can move on to Mr. Limpet. So, yeah, that's all we have to say for this. And you got through the whole thing, of course. You didn't have to turn it off.
No.
Unlike Suspiria last week. Suspiria. Okay. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the second half of our Don Knotts double feature, which is 1981's The Private Eyes. Stay tuned.
Who better to solve England's most puzzling mystery than these two international crime busters?
Yes?
Good day. I'm Inspector Winship, and this is my assistant, Dr. Tart.
With the law and the order.
Gathering vital clues from every available source. Step by step, Tim Conway and Don Knotts prove murder can be deadly in The Private Eyes. Who will be the next victim?
Got that message? Better send it off to the yard and let them know we're here.
I suspect that they would like to see me dead.
Well, you can relax now that we're here.
Danger is their constant companion. Fear is an unknown factor.
Dark!
These people are dropping like flies. Don't you people realize that you're next unless we get to the bottom of this?
Tea isn't supposed to foam. Stir it.
These great sleuths, given the clue, come up with the perfect solution.
Hey, we must be near a bowling alley.
We have among us a murderer. And that killer is right here in this room. All right, hold it right there.
Gun, give me your gun.
Tim Conway is the dim-witted Dr. Todd. And Don Knotts is the inept Inspector Windship.
Todd!
In...
Oh, my gosh.
The Private Eye.
Okay, we're back with The Private Eyes. Now, this was a movie my dad took me and Susan to see when I was 10 years old, and I have not seen it since. So that was, what, 37 years ago? Oh, my God, 37 years ago.
You're old.
I am old, 37 years ago. I can't argue this is a good movie, because it isn't.
No.
But I had a stupid grin on my face through the whole thing, because it's just so silly. And it's actually way more of a horror comedy than Ghost of Mr. Chicken, because the whole thing is a haunted house. And they play
him. I'm not even sure if it was horror.
No, it's not horror. It's the thriller.
Mystery, yeah.
But I mean, but it's got a guy running around in the hood, the shadow character, who.
Still murder mystery.
I guarantee that Edgar Wright saw this movie, because the killer in this movie, Shadow, looks exactly like the killer in Hot Fuzz.
Oh, yeah.
Like, literally the same. And Edgar Wright's only a couple years younger than me. Yarp. Yeah. But this is more what I thought Ghost of Mr. Chicken was, because the whole movie takes place in the Haunted Mansion, mm-hmm. which was, where is this? You recognize
Biltmore,
it immediately.
In Biltmore. Asheville, South Carolina.
There you
North
go.
Carolina.
Okay. I was reading about it. They said that they installed a secret passageway for a scene, and the owner of the house liked it so much he kept it.
How could you not like a secret passage?
I know, really. Yeah.
How do you have room in your house for a secret passage?
I know. Right. Doesn't it have to, like, be there to have, like, a hallway put in or whatever? But anyway. But I liked all the gags about, like, the killer leaves poems that don't rhyme. Like, it's not funny, but I don't know. I just chuckled every time. Because you know it's coming. Like, you know that the rhyme is going to get ruined, and there it is. Mm-hmm. And I liked all the...
I had a fascination for that myself, by the way. Like, high school. I loved to write poems where everything rhymed until the very end.
Well, you love those songs that, like, are supposed to curse, and then they don't.
Uh-huh.
That's like, you love that kind of humor.
Dr. Demento. Oh, I lived for Dr. Demento.
Right. I like the weird cast of characters that live in the house. Like, you've kind of got, like, the buxom maid, the French maid. Mm-hmm. And you've got the guy, the hunchback, and the woman who's Grace Zabriskie, who plays, like, the kind of Nazi-ish woman. She's, like, had this big, long career, and she's, like, in the Twin Peaks show. She's in the modern Twin Peaks show.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine being able to say, I've worked with David Lynch and Don Knotts?
Like, that's, whoa.
Imagine that. Like, if I was working with her, I'd sit around, I'd be like, what's it like working with Don Knotts? You know, you're doing all this, like, highbrow stuff. And you've got the Asian cook, who I mm-hmm. recognize as being in a bunch of MASH episodes. It's just silliness. It's just, but it's got more horror content. It's got some murders.
Really,
well, I don't know.
Murder mystery. Yeah.
And I genuinely liked the opening scene where the woman gets killed and she gets mm-hmm. strangled, and, like, she's in the car, and you see the hands reaching out to strangle her, and just as she gets strangled, they cut to all the gargoyles mm-hmm. while the lightning crashes. I'm uh-huh. like, that's actually a pretty effectively done scene. I looked up the director, and this was his only real movie.
Wow.
He's done a bunch of dwarf videos with Tim Conway, so not exactly Stanley Kubrick. But I was like, that's actually a pretty decent touch.
Uh-huh.
I always thought this was a Disney movie because they did so many Disney movies together, Conway and Knotts. They did the Apple Dumpling Gang and mm-hmm. Gus about the donkey. But this is not a Disney movie. This is a...
tell me about Gus the donkey. What's that?
It's a movie called Gus about a donkey. I don't know what else to tell you. We can try and find it sometime. No, I've never seen it.
Oh, okay.
But it's not a Disney movie. And the minute you watch it, you realize it isn't. Because it's kind of got a little bit of PG humor.
Plus it was that part where they said it was a different company.
Well, there is that. Thank you. I was able to...
parse that.
Very Sherlocky, and I was able to crack the code. I'm just saying that if you had never seen the movie and you didn't see that title card, you would know it's not a Disney movie. Because, like, there's the joke about the maid's chest. Like, when they hand her the business card and she puts it in her cleavage. Like, a Disney movie would never have that joke.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, they look through the eyes of the painting and they see the woman taking her clothes off and they're, like, uh-huh. dying to, like, spy on her.
That was a little creepy.
That was a little... Because that's another problem is Conway and Knotts were a little old. Getting a little old for this kind of...
Right, they're not 12-year-old boys.
Yeah, they're like 50. You know, like, guys, you get a little old for this kind of stuff. But I enjoyed watching it again. It was a nice place from the past to see. Because I remember my dad taking me to it. So, did you enjoy it at all?
Bits. Yeah, I wouldn't say it was a great movie. It certainly
didn't. Like all the pigeon deaths. That wasn't funny.
No, and the pigeon sort of hampered by something where he couldn't fly and he couldn't stand up straight.
Oh, yeah, when they have the pigeon looking at the dead bird. Yeah, you know that they probably, like, tied that pigeon down to the ground or something.
That was not funny at all.
Yeah, all the pigeon deaths were kind of not funny.
Pigeon deaths and pigeon just, like, again, couldn't fly, couldn't stand up straight. I don't know what they did to him.
Yeah, and yeah, that, like that.
Really, takes away from the scene.
Yeah. Like I said, it was only 90 minutes. It dragged a bit, but I don't know. Again, it was sort of silly.
So
but you got through it. You didn't have to turn it off.
No. And I think probably, you know, like my 10-year-old self would have loved it.
Right. When I saw it at 10, I probably enjoyed it. It's funny. You know,
my 35-year-old self now.
Right. You're 35? I thought you were 29. I didn't know that.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Oopsie. It does have one jump scare, though, which I thought was funny, because you were sort of like dozing off at one point, and you dozed off right at the jump scare where that thing comes out of the
so maybe I would have asked you to turn it off.
The thing comes right out of the coffin. Another weird detail is they have this recurring joke about the Woodalark, which is supposedly like this Bigfoot kind of creature that Tim Conway keeps telling Don Knotts exists, and Don Knotts is like, that doesn't exist.
And Don Knotts says, you believe in everything.
You believe in everything. And then at the end, you finally get to see the Woodalark, and it's like this pig man.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is the makeup is way too good for this movie, because it's actually kind of horrific.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looks like something out of the Island of Dr. Moreau, where it's like this pig snout, and it's got these fangs. Like, I was like, if I had taken a real little kid to that movie, that'd be kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading about...
Especially if they showed you the beginning.
Yeah, right, yeah. I was reading up about a little trivia about the private... And this movie made $18 million in 1981 money, which was not bad.
Mm-hmm. And I think Don Knotts and Tim Conway were probably licensed to print money because of their reputation.
Yes.
Yeah.
This was their last film together.
Aww.
And they were actually going to make a sequel where they... Hunted the Woodalark. That was their sequel.
Oh, wow.
They never got around to it. They never did
I wonder why.
They did a cameo together in Cannibal Run 2, which is just the worst.
Did you say Cannibal Run?
No, that would be great if it was called Cannibal Run. No, Cannonball Run 2, starring Chris Franklin's favorite actor, Burt Reynolds. They have a cameo together in that movie, but that's it. But this was their last big feature film together. So,
you know, I have a question about the beginning of the movie. Where, you know, we see the murder, we see those two come into town.
Right.
They go to the mansion, they snoop all through the place, back passages, yada,
the dumbwaiter, the bodies in the dumbwaiter.
And I don't, like, did I sleep through it where they actually discovered things? Next thing I know, they're in a car, and Don Knotts is talking about how... Mrs. Lady, whatever.
Yeah, whatever her name
murdered
is.
Murdered lady.
Matter.
Was strangled with a scarf.
Morley. Lady Morley.
Lady Morley was strangled with a scarf, and Lord Morley was hit on the head.
Right.
Now, they went into the lake.
Right.
And Lord Morley managed to escape the car. So.
But they don't know that.
The private eyes don't know
right.
that. But they were sent from Scotland Yard.
Right.
Like, nobody had to see bodies for this? And how is it that Don Knotts knew about the strangulation, that it was done with that scarf,
mm-hmm.
and that Lord Morley was hit with that baton? I didn't see them
right.
discover that.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, it doesn't make any real sense. Because they found the bodies... But if they found how did they find the body of Lord Morley? Because spoiler alert, he's not really dead. This was all a frame up.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So how did they know Lord Morley was even hit in the head? And thought why would they think he was dead if they didn't find the body? And they couldn't have found the body if he was still alive.
Because it wasn't there. Yeah.
So unless he set up a dummy or something, but they never established
who did he murder?
Right. Yeah.
To look, he had a lookalike.
It's almost as if this Tim Conway Don Knotts mystery script doesn't hold up. By the way, co-written by Tim Conway.
I saw that. Yeah.
It was kind of, it's kind of impressive, actually. Then yeah. I didn't know that he wrote his own movies. That's mm-hmm. good. I like the animated credits. I thought that was cute. Looked, reminded me of the Pink Panther.
Yes. Yeah, they were cute.
Like I said, it's because I saw this at 10, and I have some affection for it from those mm-hmm. days. I think if I had seen it blind, I just would have been like, oh, this is just dismal. But and Trish Noble is very pretty. Like, she looks like very 40s. Mm-hmm. She's a good femme fatale, and they liked all the character actors and stuff. And like I liked all the haunted house. I mean, for like Don, and it's weird because Tim Conway is ostensibly the main character. He gets top billing, but Don Knotts is really kind of the main guy. He drives the action. Mm-hmm. He's the smarter of the two. That's right. Although that's a relative, you know. I'm the smartest stooge, you know. I mean,
right, right.
But nevertheless, Tim Conway's the real dumb one. Mm-hmm. And Knotts is always the one saying, do this, do that. And so, and yet, he gets second billing. And he was kind of, I guess Tim Conway was a bigger name because he had just come off the Carol Burnett show.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a big deal. And I guess if you co-write your movie, you get
sure.
billing. So.
Sure.
But, so yeah, you know, it's the kind of movie that if they ran it on TV in the mid-80s and you were a little kid, you'd probably really love it because it's just, mm-hmm. it goes down easy. It's like a piece of candy. Just
yeah.
forget about it and whatever, so.
And the silliness. I mean, yes. all the slapstick and, yeah. you know, like, again, my 10-year-old self would have really loved it.
Yeah, all the torture chamber stuff.
Too bad I didn't see it then.
Yeah, exactly. So, all the torture chamber stuff is fun, and there's the bed of nails and the, again, and I like the shadow. I like the way he/she runs around. Again, mm-hmm. I feel like I need to take, like, a screenshot.
Mm-hmm.
of Private Eyes and send that to Edgar Wright, like, on Twitter and be like, did you see this movie? Because it looks just like Hot Fuzz. It's the same exact.
Yarp.
So, well, I guess that's going to do it for the Don Knotts double feature. After Suspiria, I wanted to give you a break.
Thank you.
Because that was the shortest time of any movie. So I thought we wanted to do something. So you got through two of them without any stops. So there you go. Okay, so before we wrap up, we're going to do a little bit of listener feedback from the last episode, which was the Suspiria episode. I like saying it like that. So, Chris Franklin.
Really?
Yeah, and I know you're shocked. Chris Franklin, I know I'm going to have to turn in my horror card, Chris, but I haven't seen Suspiria, so I can't really comment on how weird it is that Tracy made it through both The Omen and The Exorcist, but not this. Maybe I won't make it through either. I don't think I have this on the DVR, so I'll have to track it down some other way. I got you to do your Gregory Peck voice again, so total score, Chris. You're welcome, Chris. David Ace Gutierrez's simple comment was, wow, Robert. That's how you know I'm in trouble if she calls me my first name. Luke Giaconetti, a legit classic. I have no doubt that my wife would never make it through the film. We also covered this along with several other films by Dario Argento, Mario Bava, and Lucio Fulci on his podcast. He has a podcast called The Vault of Startling Monster Horror Tales of Terror. And he lists a link to the episode. Yeah, I'm never going to show you anything by Lucio Fulci. Just don't worry about that. Brian Linton says, don't worry about the length of the episode. It definitely made up in quality what it lacked in quantity. Though, now that I think about it, you could do a special 11-episode, minute-by-minute Suspiria podcast if you really want to get the bang for your buck. Actually,
you said that, didn't you?
I did mention that, yes. As always, I'm looking forward to the next episode. Thank you, Brian.
Or was it Dan Colon suggested it?
A couple of people, actually, okay. Maybe suggested it. Lucien Desar, he just commented on Johnny's thing today, so this is Lucien. This is my favorite horror movie. I'm glad you did it, even if it was briefly. True story. I was listening to this episode on the F train. He lives in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Traveling between Brooklyn and Manhattan. I was able to figure that out. And at the end, you had the trailer playing Suspiria. And the lights on the entire subway goes out.
No.
Complete darkness. People on the train screamed. And about 1 minute later, went back on. Perfect timing.
Jesus.
You're welcome, Lucien. That's called production value. And Sphinx Magoo... says, hey, has there been any talk about any turn it off with Rob's special episodes? I'd like to see how long Rob lasts to a marathon of the Mermaid Man episodes of SpongeBob SquarePants, tons of Aquaman references. People have asked about that before, and no, because there just isn't any movie that I can't sit through.
Mm-hmm.
I would be, like, you might make me watch something that I'd be bored at.
Like Notting Hill?
Yeah, but I mean, like, I wouldn't be like, oh my god, I literally can't stand this. I mean, I remember when we took... your niece to see If I Stay, that awful movie with Chloe Grace.
Oh, jeez. And oh, that was terrible.
And she was, like, shocked, or you were shocked that I was willing to go with you to see it. And I was like, just a movie. Like, how bad could it be? Even if it's pretty bad. But even if it's terrible, you just sit there and you're just bored. Like, okay. You know?
Who had the worst chemistry of all moviedom? Like, to me, there's...
Chloe Grace Moretz and that guy, and that the lead guy. Yeah, it was terrible.
Or Keanu Reeves and that woman in Walk in the Clouds.
I've never seen Walk in the Clouds.
That's like...
You know, you've said that. I've never seen that movie. So.
That was pretty bad. I'm going to say it was Chloe Grace...
Chloe Grace Moretz. Yeah. Not her fault. I don't think it was her fault.
No, it was chemistry.
Yeah.
It
was a terrible movie.
Not one or the other.
But there's, like I said, there's no movie you could show me that I was like, that I would be like, I literally can't sit through this. I just don't watch movies like that. And you get wrapped up in horror movies to where you literally can't stand it.
Yeah.
But I would just tune out. I would just sit there and be like, all right, whatever. I've been to a bunch of movies that, like, what was the last movie I saw that was? Oh, Jurassic World. I absolutely hated every frame of that terrible movie. But I took my dad to it. Mm-hmm. And I would have walked out because I was bored. But I sat through it because I was like, well, my dad's watching it, so I'll just sit here and eat my pretzel bites while he watches it. So, yeah, that people have asked for Turn It Off with Rob episodes, but that just, it just doesn't gonna, it's not gonna work because I just, that's not how I watch movies.
They can have complained about it with Rob.
Well, that, lots of that, yeah. I do want to mention, I ran a contest to see on Facebook to ask people to guess at what moment you turned off Suspiria. And we had a lot of guesses. Nikki from my friend from Borders guest, and Nikki Alvento and Carrie Crawford guest. But my old Kubert School alumni, Matt Lucich, he got it
to the second.
Mm-hmm. He took a screenshot, and it was the exact moment that you demanded to return, which is that woman's face up against the mirror. Yeah. So he won a Fire and Water Network T-shirt because he got it. And I actually wrote him, like, the contest was lasted, like, for 5 days before the episode aired. But I wrote him privately. I was like, Matt, you've already won because nobody can get any closer. You guessed, like, 11 minutes and 11 seconds that was exactly what it was.
As close as it comes.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was Suspiria. So, okay. Well, we got to – congratulations, Matt. Hope you enjoy the T-shirt. Thanks, everybody, for entering. Thanks, everybody, for the feedback. We appreciate it. And like I said, I don't know what the next one will be. This next one will be a real horror movie. Not these two lightweight excursions. But nevertheless, it's fun to watch Don Knotts. I have a great appreciation for Don Knotts.
And I always loved Tim Conway.
You always liked Tim Conway? Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Well, there you go. You love Carol Burnett.
Huygens.
Right. Yeah. You loved all that stuff. So, yeah. Anyway, thanks. I think it was Chris Franklin who recommended the Don Knotts double feature. So thanks, Chris. It was fun. My knowledge of Don Knotts really mostly comes from Mr. Furley from Three's Company.
Right.
And, like, he did obviously a lot more than that, so...
What a career he had.
Yeah, well, yeah. And we'll watch Mr. Limpet sometime. That'll be fun.
It'll be interesting to see how that compares to my memory of it.
There you go. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for Turn It Off with Tracy. Happy Friday the 13th, everybody. Big day in horror, Friday the 13th.
What are things that you do to prevent bad luck? Like, turn your horseshoes up?
No, we don't have anything like that. And we like black cats, so, and it doesn't, we don't fall for that stuff. Anyway, happy the Friday the 13th, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we will see you later. And in the meantime, you know, as always, I love you.
I love you more.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
You can kiss her now.